Scripture reading this morning comes to us from the Gospel according to Mark. It's Mark chapter 2, verses 13 to 22. Hear now the word of the Lord. Jesus went out again beside the sea, and the whole crowd gathered around him, and he taught them. And as he was walking along, he saw Levi, son of Alphae, sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were also sitting with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the scribes of the Pharisees saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And when Jesus heard this, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. And I have come to call not the righteous, but the sinners." Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. The people came and said to him, "Why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "The wedding guests cannot fast while the bridegroom is with them, can they? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast on that day. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old cloak. Otherwise, the patch pulls away from it, the new from the old, and a worse tear is made. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins. And the wine is lost, and so are the skins. But one puts new wine into fresh wineskins." This ends the reading and the hearing of God's holy word. Well, I have something with me this morning, and I know that I'll have to explain what it is. For those of you who were around this summer for Vacation Bible School, this is probably something that's familiar to all of you. You can hear, maybe, that there's something inside this little pouch, and let me show you what's inside. All right. You probably won't even be able to see them from here, but you'll at least be able to see what color they are, maybe. These are gold colored. Little yellow rocks. And you might be wondering, well, what on earth are they? It's not real gold, first of all. We spared no expense at Vacation Bible School. All the kids got these real gold nuggets. No, actually, these are just little pebbles. And we have Mac to thank for this. He came over one day, and let me get this right, Mac. You took all 10,000 of these pebbles and hand-painted each one, right, with a paintbrush? We had a whole collection of these things, and each of the kids got a bag just like this filled with these little gold coins. And for our Vacation Bible School marketplace, this was their money that they used to interact with the vendors in the marketplace in that wonderful week. If I remember correctly, on the first night we had someone who was playing the tax collector, which meant that he had a parcel too, just like this, but his was the biggest. And it kept getting bigger and bigger because he kept going up to the little kids and asking them for more money and more money. And the kids, not knowing any better, just kept giving them as much as they wanted. It was a nice time. We all kind of play-acted. We all kind of pretended. And we met some very interesting people that week. But this morning, I would like for you to meet a real tax collector. A tax collector that is shared with us in the Scriptures this morning. This one is in the Bible. His name is Levi. And he's probably going to be the most interesting biblical tax collector you'll ever meet. Because we hear some important things about Levi right off for the beginning. One thing is, he's not just a tax collector, he's a successful one. Because his tax booth is along the sea, along one of the busiest thoroughfares in northern Palestine. If you wanted to enter the country, you had to take this road, and you had to come by Levi's tax booth, and you had to pay Levi some taxes. He had risen through the ranks of his profession. He was one of the biggest, most important tax collectors in the entire profession, and that meant he was wealthy. He was wealthy enough, the Scriptures say, that he was able to afford and own his own house. He had made enough money to buy his own house. He had built up a great fortune. He was successful in his profession. Not a bad life. Until you hear something real important. This is really interesting. He was successful and he was wealthy, but he was also one of the most hated people in the entire country. How about that? People hated him. When they heard Levi, they thought tax collector. And when they thought tax collector, they thought sinner. Sinners, just like the prostitutes and all of the sinners that were in the country, they threw Levi in with that group. And why do you suppose that was? What had Levi done that had made him the object of such scorn? Well, two things. Levi had done two things. The first was that he was a cheat. He charged people more than he needed to. If you came by his tax booth and you owed 3 coins of taxes, Levi would charge you 4. And he would pocket that extra coin for himself. You know, Levi wasn't the only tax collector to do that. Because if you were a tax collector, that's what you did. You were a cheat for your profession. You charged people extra to make a living. And that's how Levi was able to amass this incredible fortune for himself, by bilking money from the people and building up a fortune and taking more money than he needed to. And everyone knew it. That's one reason they hated Levi so much. But here's the second reason. The reason that people hated him the most was because he was a traitor. Just like all other tax collectors, Levi was Jewish in his blood, but he worked for Rome. He worked for the Roman Empire, who was oppressing the Jewish people, who was keeping them down economically and politically, who was stifling their religious freedom. Levi, who was Jewish, was a traitor to his Jewish brothers and sisters because he worked for the evil empire. And so when people saw Levi, they saw someone who was subhuman. A monster, a traitor, a half-Jew, because he was working for the other team. He was wealthy, but he was hated because he was a cheat and a traitor. So he had some good things about his life, and he had some bad things too. And I can't think of a better way to describe the human life than that. Because there are those who have great parts of their life, they're wealthy, they're prestigious, they're successful, they're famous, but they've got those shadows to them. They're empty, they're not whole, they're lacking. And I suppose that if we polled every one of us this morning, we would have those two categories, things that we celebrate in our life that we are most joyous about, but also the emptiness and the things that are lacking within our own lives. And that was Levi. Levi had more money than most of his friends, but he was empty inside because he was hated. All that changed one day. All of that changed one day because Levi came to work and met the man who would change his life. A man named Jesus of Nazareth came by that busy thoroughfare and stopped at Levi's tax booth. With all of his friends and disciples, Jesus said something to Levi that you might not expect. If you were a person at that scene, what would you expect Jesus to say? I know what I would expect Jesus to say. I'd expect Jesus to levy condemnation. Something like, Levi, stop cheating the people. You are a sinner and you need to be corrected. But Jesus didn't say that. Maybe Jesus would have said, Levi, you're a traitor. Stop forsaking your Jewish brothers and sisters and working for Rome. But Jesus didn't say that either. It is just like Jesus to give a word of grace when we expect a word of condemnation, a word of hope instead of a word of punishment, because this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, follow me. I said, come on, Levi. I want you to be my disciple. I want to show you a better way to live. I don't approve of your past, but I'm not dwelling on your past. I want to show you a better life. a new life, a godly life. Brothers and sisters, it is important to stop right here before we go further in the passage and recognize that there are too many people who bear the label of Christianity, who are in the church today, who are too quick to offer a word of condemnation and a word of punishment and a word of condescension, but too few people who are willing to share the unexpected word of grace. There are too many people who are willing to thumb their nose at people who they label as sinners, but not act as Jesus did and offer them a better way. Too many people who are quick to point out the speck in their brother's eye without looking at the log inside their own. For too many in the church, there is a long list of thou shalt nots, thou should nots, and too few people who are saying, Jesus wants you to follow Him. A word of grace instead of a word of punishment. But that's exactly what Jesus says to Levi. He says, Levi, I don't care about your past, about your mistakes. I have already considered your past, and I want to offer you a better future, a life of discipleship, a life of hope, a life of following God. And so that's what Levi did. Accepted the call of Jesus into his life and decided to follow Jesus from that day forward. He left his booth, he left his money, he left his well-being all behind him and decided to become a follower of Jesus from that day forward. But Jesus wasn't through. Because Jesus recognized that there was more to Levi than the public side. There was more to Levi than the tax collector. There was Levi, the family man. Levi, the private person. Levi, the home person. And it's important to realize that after this scene, Jesus comes to Levi's house. Jesus wasn't content to just transform Levi's public person. Jesus wanted Levi's private person as well. You see, when Jesus comes into your life, Jesus doesn't want to just transform your public image, but your private self as well. Jesus doesn't want just your work. Jesus wants your home. Jesus doesn't want just your hands. Jesus wants your heart. Jesus doesn't want just your deeds. Jesus wants your thoughts. Jesus especially wants those things that people can't see. Those things that you don't want other people to see. And so Levi was transformed in his work, but then invited Jesus into his home, saying to Jesus, take all of me. Take what others can see. Take what others can't see. I want to give it all to you. Take my life. All of it. And there in that house was probably the motliest collection of sinners you would ever see. Levi had all of his friends over, all of his fellow tax collectors, all of the sinners that were in that community. They were all crammed into this one house, and there, right in the middle, was the Son of God. Could you imagine such a scene? Does it make any sense to you that somebody who is perfect would hang out with people who are imperfect? If you were wearing a beautifully bleached white new dress shirt and some newly bleached, iron-pressed dress pants, and some white dress shoes, and some nice, sparkling white dress socks, and you had just brushed your teeth, and they're sparkling, and even wearing a nice white new hat, would you go play mud football in the rain and get dirty? That's what Jesus did. This person of spotless perfection, without blemish, came down to be with the dirty, to get ugly with them, to hang out with the people that everybody else had rejected. And despite Jesus' perfection, Jesus came down to be with the imperfect. And Jesus paid the price for it. Because there were some people in that house who didn't quite get why Jesus was there, called the Pharisees. And this is what the Pharisees said. They said, why, Jesus, are you eating with tax collectors and sinners? For some reason, the Pharisees were trying to associate Jesus with the sinners. To say, why in the world is Jesus hanging out with this rubbish of people? And this is what Jesus said. Jesus said that those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick do. And Jesus, the great physician, was coming down to be with those who were physically sick and physically ill. And I bet Levi heard that. I bet Levi heard that. And for just a minute, I would like for you to put yourself in Levi's shoes, to hear those words. Because on this very same day, your life has been changed. You have forsaken your wealth and all of your money. You have invited this man into your house. And now you are sitting in a room and hearing this great debate between Jesus and the Pharisees. And they're not debating about ritual. They're not debating about doctrine. They are debating about you. They are talking about you. About whether you are worthy enough for the Son of God to be with. About whether you are worthy of Jesus' presence. About whether you are worth it for Jesus to come and be with you. The title of this sermon is A Risky Move, because that's exactly what Jesus made. Jesus made a risky move to be with Levi. Jesus put his entire reputation as a moral teacher, as a prophet, as the Son of God on the line, and made that risky move to be with a handful of rejected people. Regardless of what the world thought, Jesus thought it was important enough to reach out and touch people that everyone else had rejected. That was a risky move. He took a risk to reach out to people with sorry pasts, sinful presents, and hopeless futures. And Jesus paid the price because he was criticized heavily. You know the punchline. You know where this is going. Brothers and sisters, you are Levi in this story. You are Levi in this story because Jesus has come to you this morning and has asked you to be his follower, his disciple. Not because you've deserved it, not because you've earned it, but because God thinks you are worth it. No matter what the Pharisees of this world think. Jesus wants your entire life. He wants your tax collector self and your home self. He wants your work and he wants your play. He wants your hands and he wants your heart. He wants your public persona. He wants your private life. He wants your deeds and he wants your thoughts. And God has called you not because you have earned it or deserved it, but because God thinks you are worth it. And God took a risk and paid with his own life to reach out to you. You who have been rejected by the rest of the world. You who are Levi in this story. Jesus has paid the price for you. You are Levi in this story. But think about this. You are also Jesus in this story. You are Jesus in this story because there are those in your life for too long who have been on the outside. There are people in your life who think that they are out of the reach of God's love. They don't know and feel God's grace. And for too long, no one has been willing to take a risk and reach out to them. But you can. You can be Jesus to other people. And take a risk to reach out to people that no one else would touch and to ask them to follow God. You need to put your reputation on the line. You need to take a risk. You need to take those spotless white clothes that you have been putting on and get dirty. Get dirty with people who need to know God. If there is someone in your life, that by reaching out to them, you put yourself at risk in your reputation, that is exactly who you need to reach out to. because it is no less than what God has done for us, and no less than what Jesus did for Levi. You are Levi in this story because Jesus took a risk for you. Will you follow him? But you are also Jesus in this story because others have not followed God. Will you take a risk for them? In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all. Amen. Our final hymn is a hymn of commitment. It is hymn number 399. Take my life and let it be. Shall we stand together?